Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are talking about hemp and the advancement of fiber in the United States. We are joined by Hanna Gabrielova of Hemp Point, who joins us from the Czech Republic. Hanna, thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah, you are welcome. I'm like happy to share my experience. How are you?
We're doing good. Let's start with, aside from cannabis, just your perspective on how life has changed for you in the last days, in the last weeks in the Czech Republic with the outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, Czech Republic get like very, very soon completely like shut down, like the quarantine was applied to all the country. Even like we had like 100 cases, government already decide like put quarantine on all countries. So we are pretty good. We have like 1,000 cases and only 2 dead people. So it's not bad. I think it was kind of like time like applied to this like quarantine. For me, did not change much because I live in the farm where, like, close to the farm where I grow hemp. So I'm just like between my home and the farm, like walking distance, like every day. And Hemp Point, my company, we do the distribution of the seeds to the farmers. So now it's the top season, so we're just like getting the seeds from the breeders on our warehouse this week, and next week we are starting to ship them all around the world. So I hope the logistics will still be working. Till now, we don't have like problems with shipment at all. So I hope there will be like still like shipment possibilities and deliveries will be able to make them happen. And yeah, so this is basically like what's happening with me. And I'm very happy to be at home because I usually like travel a lot. So for me, being home, it's kind of like nice time and holidays, and I appreciate that.
Definitely.
And I have time to focus on the project. I didn't have time to focus long time,
It's certainly a good time to focus on projects, yeah. But you raise an interesting point around the uncertainty of supply chains, especially as it relates to seed. A lot of the U.S. crop inputs rely on European seed. And right now we are experiencing all kinds of issues around importing seed from the European Union. Can you speak a little bit to those uncertainties, what you're kind of seeing and what we can expect in the weeks to come?
Well, I cannot really like make any conclusions right now because like this is like we have to like do it like next week. So we have like shipments ready to be like sent this week, next week. So I don't know really like how it comes through, but we already ordered the shipment. The company didn't told us they cannot do it. We ship in like one pallet. We don't ship like one container. Yeah. So like pallets and this like aircraft shipment, I think it's still going to happen because if supply is not happening in the general, we are like fucked there. So I hope like they will like still like keep working all the logistics. Otherwise, we are in the real war, yeah. So I really count that like logistics will be no problem, and I want to like do it as fast as possible, of course, because there can be delays. We know already like we wanted to order, for example, some like hemp mask from Nepal, and like Nepal get shut down yesterday, so we cannot like get them now, yeah. So we have to like find out like another opportunity, maybe like figure out some import from Czech Republic instead of doing like export from Nepal. Yeah, but these are the challenges what like this coronavirus brings. But Europe has till now no really like big issues with shipment.
Hanna, when you look at shipments, when ideally, when you're shipping things across the Atlantic Ocean, you're putting things on a ship because it's a lot less costly. It's my understanding.
No. No. We do always aircraft shipment because the delivery of the seed from these breeders is usually taking time because of all the certification procedure and like people like deciding to buy the seeds in the last moment. So there is not really like 1 or 2 months for like shipping on the boat. Yeah. So we always like do the shipment by plane, which takes like 1 week.
Okay. That's very helpful.
We should think like one pallet. Shipping like one pallet or one box. We supply a lot of like American clients, but because like America has not much like experience with like growing hemp or fiber or this like multi-crop cultivation, they have like a lot of experience with CBD, but it's like completely different like way of farming. So they usually ask us like which kind of like varieties we can recommend, but like recommend something I can on based on some experience, but there is like not much experience. So I always like recommend just like buy seeds as much as you can, do the trials, and then you know what you should do like next year when you want to go scale up. Yeah, but like recommending something we can do always on the real experience. So this year we supply a lot of farmers with like many different varieties, but like small packaging, like 1 kilo, 5 kilo, different varieties. So those people can run a lot of trials across the United States, different areas, Minnesota, like Florida, California, even like some few universities who ask for those seeds for their agriculture studies. And like fit remediation research project, and yeah, so this is basically not big issue to just like send the package, yeah. So,
sure. So you would typically put things on an airplane if you're going to ship multiple tons of something, then you'd probably look more closely at shipping at a lesser cost. But we've talked together about and I recently read your interview in Hemp Today, which was very well done, where it talks a little bit about how certain seeds that are used in the United States that are high CBD varieties are not necessarily allowed in the European Union. And we also saw the United States Department of Agriculture in late 2019 issue certain rules where even our North American-grown industrial hemp is shifting away from pure cannabinoid genetics towards more versatile or multi-purpose crops that are prevalent in the European Union. Can you talk a little bit about what that means for the industry? Because as we've talked about, and as I messaged you this morning, it really gets me excited because it talks about what's next. No longer are we purely focused on just growing hemp for CBD. We're looking at it for other things. What's your perspective on that and where things are going in that regard?
Okay. Yeah, so Europe, just like to let you know, has like the European plant variety database list. So there are like listed around like 70 different varieties, which has like all 0.2%. And they are all seeds on fiber varieties, yeah. So they are not really like breeded with like high CBD content. They are not breeded for yields of flowers or like yield of cannabinoids. Because make a stable varieties takes time. These varieties which are like on this like plant variety database list, they are basically around 10, 15 years of like breeding and making them stable. Stable means they are like 0.2% THC content. Yeah, the total THC, I mean, not like in US, they count just like the Delta 9. And they are stable in the yield of seeds or in the yield of fiber for what they was breeded. Yeah. And this is like very different from the American seed varieties because they are like called hemp seed, but they are usually coming from marijuana, where was like selected the low content of THC, but not enough long time to make them enough stable, my guess, because yeah, like, you know, like, how was it, like, with all this, like, hot flower production, yeah, or how the, yeah, and so, and I was, like, many years asking, like, breeders from U.S. to give me those varieties to be able to import them after I will, like, register them on the European seed catalog. But also the another difference is that the seeds are very expensive. They are sold by, like, $1 a seed or 50 cents a seed if you buy, like, big, big amount. But in Europe, we sell the seeds per kilo as, like, every another crop, it's so price per kilo. And so if you count like 1 kilo of the seeds, what I sell, 10, 15 euros a kilo. And like these American seeds are sold like 1 kilo for like 50,000 euros or dollars. You know, it's like very different, like counting. So asking American breeders to bring me like some few kilo for registration, they was kind of like, oh, I better sell them and make a lot of money instead of like registering them in Europe and then like have them in the European catalog, but not sure if I can sell them for such a prices, and I'm not sure even like they're enough stable, so if I will kind of like achieve the registration. So yeah, so I never really like find any breeder who was like really interesting to make this approach, like the registration there has to be very serious. And even like somebody who will be able to give me the methodology to be able to make this registration. So yeah, basically this is the difference between Europe and US. European seeds are like registered, be able allowed to trade them worldwide because they are always CD varieties. Registered American seeds are just like useful for American market or South American market, maybe Taiwan market, like the market which is not really well regulated.
This raises an interesting point, which is that to date, most of the hemp grown in the United States has been for cannabinoid production. And you bring up research trials, which is a very, very important subject, something we haven't talked a lot about on the Hoban Minute, but certainly is something that we're going to see more of this year. More universities, specifically land-grant universities, bringing in and trialing different varieties. And I'm thinking about fiber. We haven't seen a whole lot of hemp grown for fiber in the United States, and growing hemp for fiber is very different than growing it for CBD production. Can you speak a little bit to those differences, the how much pound per acre you plant, the different length of time that you let the hemp grow for before harvesting, just those different factors when you think about growing hemp for fiber versus CBD?
Yeah, well, like if you count like how many plants per hectare, then it's like maybe like 4,000 seeds per acre, or like maybe 2,000 seeds per acre. Yeah, so it's like very.
It's much more. It's much more densely planted, right? So you plant the plants a lot closer together, in a smaller space.
Yeah, much more closer. Yeah. Like in China, they put like 120. Kilo seeds per hectare, so which is like 60 kg per acre. So and in Europe we do maybe like half or even like quarter or one third, maybe like 40 kilo a hectare. So which is like 20 kg per acre. If we grow like for fiber. But like much dense, yeah. So you need a lot of seeds per hectare to be able to grow fiber, because like fiber need to be like one stem. You don't want to have like the benches, because every bench like destroy the quality of the fiber. So you need like more fiber. So you need to have like one single stem without benches to be able to have like high quality of the fiber.
Well, Hanna, do you see any disruption to agriculture or specifically hemp production in the Czech Republic this year as a result of the coronavirus pandemic?
Not yet, really. Like it's very like very early beginning, like to be able to make some to see some effect of the hemp industry in Czech Republic. But I see that positive because the people are really like at home. They have like time to plan. I getting a lot of calls, a lot of projects are happening. Yeah, and like people are very interesting to developing some new ideas and strategies because they are home. They can like focus, you know, or they are kind of like not able to continue their business. So they thinking about like what to do next, and they have some fields. So they think to plan some cultivation. So, you know, so it's like really this like self-supply or like self-efficiency of like be able to run my own business based on something what I can grow. It's really like getting more interesting for the people, and like also like do it together. So people are talking about establishing some new cooperatives, like in local region, helping each other, networking. Everybody really like has time to focus, yeah, on the stuff what they usually don't have time. And people have maybe they was like listening or thinking long time about like doing something with hemp, and now they have time to really like develop these ideas. So I'm really getting a lot of calls and like discussion with the people who really want to make like something with hemp happen this year. Yeah. So it's a good opportunity, this coronavirus, just like to finish something what you had in mind like long time. Yeah.
That's an excellent point. Certainly take advantage of the little bit of time that we have from the coronavirus to put things on pause, reflect, make your plans going forward. Hannah, we thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a glimpse of what's going on across the ocean. Bob, any parting thoughts from you?
No, Hannah, thank you for joining us, and let's stay tuned and see how this affects the progress we've made from a farming perspective as it relates to industrial hemp. And thank you for all that you do, and keep on letting it grow.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, good luck with all the farming in U.S. for everybody, and if somebody needs seeds, let me know.
Will do.
Okay.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Good luck. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to Hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.